Muy buenas tardes, un saludo al misionero Miguel Lemúdez Marín y a todos los ministros, hermanos y hermanas reunidos.
Good evening. Greetings to the missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín and to all the ministers, brothers and sisters, gathered today, Friday, July 4th of this year 2025. Our subject is the Holy Spirit, our sustaining strength. Preached on December 3rd of 2016 in El Paso, Texas, the United States. And there he read to us the scripture of the Gospel according to John on chapter 14, verse 6 and on, where it tells us, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And he drew a star of David there on the right. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficient us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? There on the left he draws three circles, one inside the other. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. And also there his circles, three circles, one inside the other. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and there he writes above, in Holy Spirit, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. In verse 26, it also tells us there, But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. There on verse 21. Let us see here. Verse 20 to 21. Let's read it also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that love me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. And there on the left he draws a cornerstone and the ages. The Holy Spirit, our sustaining strength. You may please be seated. In the message, the coming of the cornerstone, which was preached on June 11th of Dr. William Soto Santiago tells us. So, being in this time, living such a great and such sublime moment, we must remember the words of the fourth Elijah, who told us in the year 1954, in the message titled Questions and Answers, number 2, page 38, tells us, and it was translated to Spanish, it says, preach on January 3rd of 1953 in Jeffersonville, Indiana. Now, he reads this portion to us here, which is from this message. He says, O brother, give me a church full of the Holy Ghost. God will do in 1 year what all theologists failed to do in 2,000 years. And he says, in other words, in 2,000 years, it is in the seven church ages, approximately 2,000 years of the ages. You wait till the anointing of the church really strikes home to that faith little remnant. After the doors of the Gentiles is closed, Brother William says, after the doors of the Gentiles is closed, in other words, the dispensation of grace, oh, God will anoint the church then. Oh my, Brother William says, and why will he anoint her after the door of the Gentiles is closed? And he says, God will anoint the church then. Brother William says, and what will happen? And he continues there, he who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he who is holy, let him be holy still. And God will anoint the church with the power of God, and things will be taking place. Now, that is here in the book of quotations. That portion that I read to you, there, it is on page 6. Paragraph 49. And he writes there in that paragraph above, the anointing after the door of the Gentiles is closed. And on the right there, about halfway down the paragraph, he draws a cornerstone, and he writes, door. And on the left, a bit below the middle, there he draws a cornerstone, the ages, and a door at the bottom part of the ages, and another door on the bottom part of the cornerstone, because there was a door for the dispensation of grace, which is Christ in his first coming, and for the dispensation of the kingdom in the age of the cornerstone, there is a door, and it is the second coming of the Lord. Now he goes on to say in this message, the coming of the cornerstone, so you can see the things that will come to pass. You can see all those things that, notice, he spoke of things that will come to pass. He spoke of great wonders that will happen. And on one occasion they asked Brother Branham if there would be miracles and things at this time, if the bride would be the one to do it, if the bride would do great things. And Brother Branham says that that is what the Pentecostals are looking for, but that is for the Jewish age, for the Hebrew age. In the message, what is the Holy Ghost? He says, on page 21, now turn right across the page, watch these prophecies come to pass. And when the days of Pentecost has fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And all of a sudden, here Brother Branham comes to place the scripture in certain way, and he corrects it himself. Because notice, he says, and all of a sudden the pastor come in, and I got off the line there, didn't I? All of a sudden the priest come on the altar. No. And suddenly there came a sound. There he writes, today it will be the thunders. Now, just to make believe, it was there, a sound. a minister was approaching the door. The priest had the communion coming out of the holy place. No, nothing like that. There came a sound from heaven. Not the rustling of a feet. There came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Oh my, woof. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. So notice that there it was already outside of that dispensation, which was coming to its end, the dispensation of the law. And it was the beginning of the dispensation of grace. Now, that is the same thing that Brother Branham is telling us, that our Brother William is referring to when they asked that question there to him, that the miracles and wonders and things that would happen if the bride was to do it, in other words, if the church was to do those things. And he says that is what the Pentecostals are looking for. But he says that is for the Jewish age, see? For the part where the dispensation of the kingdom would begin. Now, he continues saying here on paragraph 104, what is the Holy Ghost? Here is where they get power. Now, keep that in mind, where they got power from. Here is where they are supposed to wait. Here is what happened when they did it. All prophesied from Genesis right on up, from Abraham right on through. It would come, and how it would come, and the result would come. What is it? Promised to the church, to the believers, and filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like of fire. And he writes there, today it will be the theophanic body today. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. How is it? It's a promise to the church. Absolutely a promise. Now, notice here, our Brother William continues to say, in this message we are reading, the coming of the cornerstone. Now notice, in the tenth vision, great miracles and wonders were seen. And Brother Branham says that the great signs and wonders and miracles, that is for the Jewish age. And that is with Moses and Elijah. Therefore, you can see the fulfillment of the tenth vision falls in the Jewish age. After the church ages have ended, then what comes? The fulfillment of the tenth vision, where God will be working outside of the church ages. In this message, preached by the Reverend William Branham, titled Micaiah the Prophet, look, he tells us here, now, if your faith says, he says, now, how many believe that there is such a thing as divine healing by Christ? Raise up your hand. All right. How many believe that you could be healed tonight? Raise up your hand. Well, there is your revelation comparing with the Word of God. Then it's got to come to pass. Amen. He's got to do it. If you really believe it, just don't make believe it. Now, he won't bluff. Satan won't bluff. But you've got to have the goods. 10 days after Jesus gave the disciples power to cast out devils, we find them over there defeated on an epileptic case. And I can imagine one of them, Andrew, saying, now, here's the way I done it down at Philippi. Here it is. Come out of there, devil. Come out of there, devil. No, he wouldn't come out. Peter said, you don't know how to do. Here is the way we did it at Capernaum. Let me show you how to do it. Get a hold of him like this. Say, you know who I am? I'm Simon Peter. Come out of there. Devil just kept on going. So after a while, the father looked up, and here come Jesus. Come walking down, said, Lord, I brought my child to your servants, and they could not do any good for him. Jesus said, I can if you believe. He said, I, Lord, help my unbelief. Said, I believe. When Jesus went walking up, That's all he had to do. The devil knows that there was something beside a man walking up there then, see? So then, now after it was all over, the devil left the child. And after it was over, then the disciples called Jesus aside and said, "Now, why couldn't we do it? Did you take the power back away from us?" He said, "No. I can show you where he gave power, but I can't show you where he taken it away." Now remember that Mount Transfiguration represents, typifies the second coming of the Lord being shown there. And that mountain represents the age of the cornerstone. Notice him coming out of the ages. And in this writing that we have read, where our brother William wrote in that notebook, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 to 10, he wrote that scripture, and he writes, "When he that letteth is taken away," and that is the Holy Spirit, "it is taken away from the dispensation of grace," in other words, from the ages, "then shall the wicked be revealed." And then he writes, "The Holy Spirit will be taken away from the earth, from among the Gentiles," in other words, from the dispensation of grace, "and shall go up." There it is in the cornerstone. There is Jesus going up to Mount Transfiguration. "And shall go up, and he will come incarnate in a man to reveal himself." That is why that demon could not stay in there. He had to come out, because that adopted Son of God was revealed there, who was adopted on Mount Transfiguration. Now, there is where it shows us how it was taken and where that power was taken away. Now he goes on to say, in the message, Micaiah the prophet, "It's still there. You're just afraid to use it, see?" Said, "Yes, but why couldn't we cast him out?" Jesus said, now didn't say, "Because I took the power back." He said, "Because of your unbelief." That's it, see? That's it. Because you don't believe it. Now, Micaiah could have not have faith unless his vision would have compared with the Word of God. That's the way in when I was talking about Abraham and his seed after him. The only way I have faith with that vision of mine on that is exactly the Word of God. And then you got faith. I know it's so. When God says so, and he has promised it by his Word, and you are living in this day, he is running on schedule. Yes, sir. There isn't nothing going to stop it. It's going right on. And that's the reason I believe tonight that we're living in the shadows of the time just. Now, let us continue reading here in the message, the coming of the cornerstone. He goes on to say there, Dr. William Soto, now notice, for the fulfillment of the tenth vision, in order to see what Brother Branham saw, he saw what was taking place on that occasion when God took him to see that tent. First of all, God did not take him to see the beginning of the tent vision. God did not take him to see the beginning of the movement when the tent, when it began, for the movement of the fulfillment of the tent vision. Notice, God did not take him, let us say, when the land was purchased, when the land was being shaped. He did not take him when the foundations were being laid. He did not take him when the canvas was being put up. Notice, he took him when it was already in operation and in an activity that was already in full swing. Now, blessed are those who have been there from the beginning, seeing everything unfold progressively. And they will reach that day that the Reverend William Branham saw. Those are the blessed ones. Because the battle, when it is a victory for each of those who begin that battle, that race, victory doesn't belong to the one who starts, but to the one who finishes. Now, notice, he goes on to say, in plain words, he did not see when the tent was built. He did not see what things were happening before the tent appeared. He did not see the services before the tent, nor did he see the first tent services, nor did he see everything that happened before he was taken to that tent that he saw. And many still say, no, the tent vision has not been fulfilled. The tent vision is a vision that has a trajectory, which is progressive, and many want to see the end without receiving what comes before the end. And the first thing is the word. That is the greatest thing, which is what God is fulfilling today. The revelation of the seventh seal brought by the thunders, the seven thunders. Because it was said that in the great tent cathedral, the mystery of the seventh seal would be revealed. The mystery of the coming of the Son of Man with his angels. And that is what would impart to the church the rapture in faith. And he keeps saying, in plain words, he did not see whether there had been a smaller tent before that big tent, or how many tents had appeared before that one. He did not see how things were set up in the beginning, before he saw what he saw. When he saw what he saw, was when he was taken there. And the things, when he was taken there, were already the way he saw them. In other words, all the things he was looking at and seeing were already established. That had all already been established by that ministry that the Holy Spirit was ministering there through that instrument. Everything was already established. As we read last Sunday, a living ministry in the midst of the church. But, in other words, the living ministry, the Holy Spirit using a living instrument of flesh. But what were they like first? What were they like first? What was the process that God sent to follow in order to reach that situation? Surely everything he didn't see in that vision, surely he spoke it somewhere else. Surely he spoke many things in other places about how things would be unfold, how each thing would move on and on until reaching the total fulfillment of the tenth vision. Now notice, in the fulfillment of the tenth vision, when it was shown to him, it was all in vision. But now we are seeing the reality, as it was when he spoke of the creation of squirrels. Notice in the message, Perfect Faith, there he tells us, there was no vision for that, for those squirrels to appear, but that everything was real there at the moment. Notice on page 22 of this message, Perfect Faith, the Reverend William Branham tells us there. Now, that's not skim milk, see, but fresh meat. This identifies you. It puts you back. I know it's going to jump right over top of you, maybe, see, because it can't anchor. But real, genuine faith catches that right now. Above that, he writes on that paragraph, the spoken word. And there, after that paragraph, he writes, it will go over the top of you. And on the left, once again, he writes upward, it will go over the top of you. I've seen it. Friend, here's this Bible laying open before me. I've seen it happen, and I know it's the truth. I've seen it happen. There, he writes the spoken word. I know God in heaven knows that I might not live through to finish this message, but I know that it happened. I've seen it myself. am a witness of that word being fulfilled, that I know it's the truth. Say it, and stand there and see the Creator bring a living creature into existence, right in presence of your eyes. You shake your head and wonder, and then look around and see him bring another one, just exactly like it. See, when he told him to speak the word for the creation of those squirrels. Just exactly like it, because you said so. And turn over here and say, there'll be another one there. And looked, and there it is. Now, that's the truth. Oh, where should we be? There is perfect faith. No vision. Just speak the word. See? For the creation of squirrels, there was no vision. There he writes on the left, going upward in two lines, there was no vision, just speak the word, and the squirrels equals, it is the third pool. There was no vision, just speak the word, and the squirrels equals, is the third pool. Never saw the squirrels. He just said the scripture, what it was, and speak it. And don't doubt it, because what you say, it'll be there. Now notice the scripture that he reminded him of. Mark chapter 11, there where he tells us, this portion that he is mentioning here, where Jesus shows us there on the 11th chapter of Mark. On verse 23 it says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now notice that scripture kept going around in circles in his mind. And here, when he's going to show the power of God partially, in one of those manifestations that God showed the church through him, which by the spoken word, those squirrels would be created. He reminds him of that scripture. Now notice, he goes on to say, speak it and don't doubt it, but what you say, it'll be there. And I took God at his word, and it was there. It was there, the squirrels were when he spoke. That's right. That's just as powerful. And friends, as your pastor, that's just as powerful as it was when Joshua stopped the sun. Because the sun was already there. The elements was moving. And he stopped the movement. But this, he brought something there that wasn't there. He created. That is why, in the fulfillment of the 10th vision, he says that even body parts of people's bodies, if they are missing a leg, an eye, an arm, it will be restored to the person. I am so glad to be acquainted with the God that can take the dust of the earth someday without anything and call me back to life again. That same faith, after I've been planted in the grave. Now notice, that is also how it will be with the resurrection. Because just as the third pole is the word being spoken, that is why he said in John chapter 6 verse 26, that the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and shall rise. And he writes in flesh, see? Because it is through that ministry that the word will be spoken to bring to life those who have departed. And it doesn't matter how much time it's been since their days ended on this planet Earth. And there he writes on the right, the resurrection of Brother Branham. There he was already prophesying that he was going to depart and that he would resurrect. Now notice, he continues to say here in the message, the coming of the cornerstone, he says, and when I say the complete fulfillment of the 10th vision, I am referring to seeing exactly the things that he saw and that exact moment that he lived. for the people of God to live through it. Look, he says that the tent was full. He says that it was full. He saw that there were services. So you can see that he says that he was in another dimension. And he says that he was like above the people. So you can then see that he did not buy the tent. He did not set it up. He was not directing things there. Now notice when he, on occasion that we have read it, where Brother William says that, that instrument, which, that ministry which is the one that will have the blessing and the responsibility of putting together the tent, or to be in charge of the construction, and also the ministry that would be used in the Great Tent Cathedral. There at the bottom, you can put that excerpt on this study, where Brother William spoke in that way in that message. Now notice, Brother Branham was not the instrument that God used for that, nor was our Brother William Soto Santiago. He was hand in hand with that work, but notice, the one who was carrying out the materialization, the direction and everything was someone else. And in terms of using it, we can see that it was not of Dr. William Soto, because he had already departed before the services began there. He goes on to say, so you can see then that a time will come when we will reach the point where everything will be completely fulfilled, exactly as it was seen in the moment he came down and stood there. And he then entered, he saw the angel, he was seen in another dimension. He was seen both dimensions. And then he entered into the little room and all those things. So, God will be moving each thing gradually. As he works, we will be seeing how he carries out his entire plan. And then, once everything becomes the way he saw it, it will be, at some point, it will be the way he saw it. And then, at that time, then there will be some miracles. If the miracles that he saw have to be fulfilled literally, we will see them literally. But in the meantime, we are in a spiritual stage, which is greater and more glorious than any literal thing, that any literal miracle that God can perform. And that is the time we are in now. We are in the part of the spiritual miracles, spiritually healing every elect of God from all spiritual illness. Although God has also allowed physical healings to take place. So anyone may say, but I don't see this and this and that. Look, you can see, notice, he's going to use an example here. Let us use an example. You can see a person. You can see someone in a picture, or you can see a person in a dream, and see that he is your son, that such and such is a son of yours, and you can see him being your age in your dream. And even an unmarried person can see all these things. And then he get married, and he have a baby. Now notice that father saw that son. But when he saw him in a dream, or in a vision, or however he saw him, what he saw was a man just like him, already grown up. And he can see that son and say, that's not the one I saw, but yes, that's the one he saw. It's just that he is in a stage, and he saw him at the end, when he was already grown up, everything had not yet gone through all the stages, to the point that he became the way he saw him when he saw him in a dream or a vision. And that's how it happens in this matter of the tenth vision. The stages that have to be undergone are the stages in which many people may say, no, no, no. What he saw was something big. And this is something small. He's still looking at the little boy. He's seeing him small, and he saw him with a suit and a tie. But when he sees him, he says, no, no, he doesn't even have a tie. The one I saw had a suit and a tie. And this one is just wearing some diapers. He's got a diaper there. Just let him go through the stages that he has to go through. and let him continue to mature and continue to learn what he has to learn and continue growing and eating what he has to eat and continue putting it in practice. And let his parents, his father, buying clothes that he needs to buy him. And let the boy continue growing. Because when some years go by, his father will have to say, I have to buy him the suit. The suit that I saw him wearing in the vision. I'm going to have to go and buy it for him, because he is getting as big as me. Now remember, that's what happened with Elijah and Elisha. He took him everywhere. We could say he's the tutor, teaching his student. And when he was grown up, when Elijah had to leave, what did he do? He placed the mantle on him. He left him the word, the mantle. Now you see, then Elijah continued on his own. That is how we should see all these things. Because God takes us always through stages, through processes, until He takes us to the last stage, where then we see what had not been seen at the beginning. And we can't manufacture things. We have to gradually go on growing and each thing taking its place, its position. And all the things that hinder are removed by God. And then we can see that each time God is going to do something and that something happens and that problems come up and that things happen, we see that we're moving on to a higher stage. Now, we are in a time when I think that there shouldn't be anything on earth, in the world, in the churches, or between us, that can cause us to stumble. I think there should be nothing that can scandalize us, even if there are things that scandalize anyone. We should never be scandalized by anything, because we know that we are going through a process in which many things will happen along the way. And that God then will take care of resolving and taking care of all the issues and all the problems that arise in the midst of His people. Notice in this message, the seed of discrepancy. Here, the Reverend William Branham tells us on page 8, and we know that Jesus was the Word. St. John 1 said, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt here among us. Then the Word is a seed, then the seed become flesh and dwelt among us. If Judas was the seed of the enemy and the discrepancy, it also become flesh and dwelt among us in the person of Judas Iscariot. Now, notice here, in the margin, on top of that paragraph, he writes, Satan's seed, as a serpent, was Cain, and then Judas. Satan's seed, as a serpent, was Cain, and then Judas. He never had no real faith. He had what he thought was a faith. There's such a thing as having faith and the make-believe faith. Now notice on this message that we were reading, perfect faith. Here it tells us, let us see here, on page 8 of this message, it says, Now we see at first the disciples didn't have the perfect faith. They did not have it because they had Christ walking with them. But then afterwards, Christ was in them. Now notice that in order for the resurrection to take place, He, according to Revelation 11, He has to go and find them. As He says on page 367, where it tells us about that occasion that Brother Branham went there to paradise. And in the ages, he also speaks to us about that, where he says that there, they told him that they were waiting for the Lord. And in the ages is where he writes Revelation 11. Now notice, in the first coming of the Lord, he had to first go to the Father. And notice that after going through paradise, after going to hell, notice, and passing by paradise and bringing in the resurrection, after his resurrection, and bringing them to this dimension, in glorified bodies. Now, look in this message that we will be seeing today on page 8. There he tells us, in a short part here, they are in their theophanic bodies, heavenly bodies, which is in spirit, in the spirit world, in the sixth dimension, to which Jesus Christ will descend to. And after a judgment that he will carry out with the leaders, then he will come to earth. Notice, first, Revelation 11, Moses and Elijah. He will resurrect them in eternal and glorified bodies, and when we see them, we will be transformed. As simple as that. Now, he could not open that mystery, which pertains to the coming of the Lord, which is the seventh seal, because the Son of Man comes with his angels. And just as it happened in the first coming of the Lord, that he had to go through paradise to bring them, so also in the second coming of the Lord, because he would be parallel in every way. Everything that happened back then has to be repeated now. Now notice, and thus, the eternal and glorified body will be able to come for those who are alive. Now he goes on to say, and so, you see, it's hard then to have this perfect faith without the Holy Spirit. It has to bring it. It does. Who brings it? The Holy Spirit. And it was taken away from the ages of the dispensation of grace. But it has come to the dispensation of the kingdom, to the age of the cornerstone incarnate. Now you say, the disciples didn't have perfect faith? No. And he writes on the left, the disciples did not have faith. For they had an epileptic child there that they were trying to cast this devil out of him. And they couldn't do it. And then the father seen Jesus coming and he said, we have brought my son to your disciples and they could not cure him, see? And afterwards the disciples asked Jesus saying, why could not we cure him? And on the right he writes, the Spirit brings the perfect faith. That is why he told us, let us see here in the book of the seals, on page 123, he tells us, at the bottom he says, and I believe that through those seven thunders will be revealed in the last days in order to get the bride together for rapturing faith. Because what we got right now, we wouldn't be able to do it. There is something. We've got to step further. And that one that had to come is the Holy Spirit. We've got to step further. We can't have enough faith for divine healing hardly. We've got to have enough faith to be changed in a moment and be swept up out of this earth. And we'll find that after a while, the Lord willing, find where it's written. Now, if the Holy Spirit is the one that brings the perfect faith, then the Holy Spirit must come incarnate in the age of the cornerstone so that that perfect faith can be received by the elect of God, the church bride, who was about to, as Brother Branham says, to be raptured. Now, he goes on to say, now, there at the bottom, look on that page, he writes, our brother William writes, the Holy Spirit, incarnate, being inside the body of the believers, brings the perfect faith, the rapturing faith. In other words, the Holy Spirit incarnate in his instrument within the mystical body of believers, In other words, in the one who is redeemed, who at the same time, God through him, would be fulfilling that promise. And afterwards, the disciples ask Jesus, saying, why could not we cure him? And Jesus said, because of the lack of faith, of your unbelief. That was what that scripture that he also reads to us here, we saw it there in that account, in the message, Micaiah, the prophet, where our brother Branham also narrated that portion of that scripture. Now he goes on to say, that's right, because of your unbelief at... Now remember, they had the power. Jesus had given them power to heal the sick, to raise the dead, and cast out devils just a few days before that. They had the power, but not the faith to use the power. Now, there is the Branham Tabernacle. There is the church, the bride today. The Holy Spirit is there with the power, but you haven't got the faith to move it. See what I mean? It takes faith to move it. And there to the left, he writes, faith to use the power. And above, he also writes, the bride and the Branham Tabernacle did not have the faith to move the power. Now, let us see here. Let's continue there a bit further. He says, here, I got a shell that I handed loaded. I know what it'll do by ballistics, like the word. But I've got to fire the gun. The fire has to get to the powder. The powder's got the power, but it's got to have the fire to light it off. And the same thing, the powder is in the shell. But it needs faith to charge it and throw it out. That's what it takes, see? Perfect faith to ignite the power of the Holy Spirit, which we have now, since he come upon us. Faith to ignite, to see great things. Faith is something that presents it to you. With a heart full of joy, you walk into the sick room knowing exactly what you're going to say. Walk in there and know what's going to happen. Something's already been revealed, and you know it. And you walk in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up from there. Thus says the Lord. There you are. That's perfect faith. If there had been 10 million people standing there saying it wouldn't happen, you know it's going to happen anyhow, because you know it. It's going to happen, regardless of what anybody else says. You're the one that's got the faith. Could you imagine Joshua? And there on the top he writes adoption, and on the left he writes Joshua. He called the elders of Israel together and said, you brethren, we are the servants of the Lord. I would like for you to say, ask the Lord if it be all right if he give us a little more sunlight. See? And hold the sun a little while. No, he had need of it. And without prayer, without anything, he had need of it. And he just commanded the sun. He said, stand there, I have need. And I am in the service of the Lord. And he sent me over here to do this job. And I'm doing the best that I know how. And the enemy is routed, and they're out in here. If I let the sun go down, they'll get together and cause me more trouble. So stand still. And moon, you hang there. Amen. She hung there for 24 hours. There on the left, he writes, it will happen even if others don't believe. And at the bottom, he writes, the spoken word. And also on the right, downward, like this, he writes, Joshua with faith commanded the afternoon sun. He made another day in the west. And also on top of sun, he writes, Elijah. Now, if the world's turning and he held it up, and the sun stayed in a place and it don't run, what happened then? Now, you made yourself an infidel. If you say of this, and then if you don't, you should do fool with science. Because they said, if the world stopped, it dropped. So now what? If you say God's word is not right, then you're an infidel, see? But it happened. That's the main thing. I don't know the mechanics of it, but it happened. I don't know the mechanics of the Holy Ghost. And he writes above, the mechanics. But I know it fell on me. I can't tell the mechanics of it, but I know the blessings of it. That's all I care to know about, is the blessings of the Holy Ghost. And mechanics, he works them. That's his secret. This boy could not be healed because the disciples had power. Jesus gave them power to heal all manner of sickness, to cast out devils, to cleanse the lepers, and to raise the dead. He gave them power, but they didn't have faith to operate the power that they had. And there on the left he writes, faith. And on the right upward he writes, they didn't have faith to make the word they had work. They didn't have faith to make the word they had work. And then they questioned Jesus and said, well, now, why couldn't we do it? Now, remember, they had the Word, and the Word was flesh then. And the Word told them, I give you power. Amen. I give you power. And they had the power, but they didn't have faith to operate the Word that was in them. See what I mean? But Jesus, there he drew a Star of David. But Jesus had it. He was the Word. And he had faith that what he said would happen. He said, oh, bring him here. How long? Oh, bring him here. How long will I suffer you? He had faith with his power. Now notice, he had faith along with his power. How did he? He said, I can do nothing in myself. Why? He relied upon what he was. He relied in knowing that he was the Word. And he had faith in God, who made him the Word. He was God, the Word. And they was in him. And there on the left upward, he writes, no, understand your position. No, understand your position. And that gave him faith because he understood his position. He knew what he was because the scripture has said he was this. And here every scripture tied in to prove that he was exactly what the scripture said he would be. And he knew what he was. Therefore, he relied upon what God had made him. And if he did that, then can't we rely upon what God made us as believers? These signs shall follow them that believe. And there he writes, trust in what God has made us. He had faith in what he was. And if you are a believer, you have faith in what you are. You are a believer. And if you've got faith in God, the Bible says over here, if our heart condemns us, then we can't have faith. But if our heart don't condemn us, then we have faith. We have confidence towards God. This is found in 1 John 3:21. If our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence towards God. And there he writes, faith equals trust. And he also writes, have faith in what the Word says you are. Now he continues to say here in this message, a little further, where we had started reading from the seat of discrepancy, further down on page 10, he says, therefore there can be nothing shadowy, just the genuine, unadulterated Word of God. That's sons of God, daughters of God, who are not born by the will of man or by shaking a hand or some form of baptism, but born in the Spirit of God, by the Holy Ghost and the Word manifesting itself through them. That's genuine seed of God. The enemy joins church and becomes very orthodox in a creed or something. But that's not. That's discrepancy. Anything that interferes with that strain of genuine truth of God's Word. And how do we know? We say, well, you've got a right to interpret it? No, sir. No man has a right to interpret God's Word. He is his own interpreter. He promised it, then he does it. That's the interpretation thereof. When he promised it, then he fulfills it. That's the interpretation of it. Anything contrary to God's Word is a discrepancy. Absolutely. Now, as I have said, Judah had no real faith. Notice, Judah did not have the real faith. He had a make-believe faith. He had a faith that he thought that that was the Son of God. But he did not know that that was the Son of God. He wouldn't have done it. In other words, he wouldn't have betrayed the Master, the Messiah. It's the same thing with every person or minister that crucifies the Word, the Logos, at this end time. And in the message, the indictment, which speaks to us about the crucifixion in spiritual terms, with blasphemies and things against the Word incarnate, the Word, which was shown when Moses smote the rock the second time. Notice, look, if Judas Iscariot have had a true faith, he says there he wouldn't have done it. Nor if the person or people, ministers or people, speak against the fulfillment of what God promised and crucify the Word in that message, the indictment, he says that. From the pulpits also, notice, that represents that those people also don't have that perfect faith. What they rather have is a manufactured faith. Look, this is what he tells us here. He had a make-believe faith. He had a faith that he thought that that was the Son of God, but he did not know that that was the Son of God. He wouldn't have done it. And a man who will compromise on this Word of God being the truth, he's got a make-believe faith. Genuine servant of God will hang on that Word. Now notice, he goes on saying here where we are reading in this message, the coming of the cornerstone, where we paused, he says, he goes on to say here, and every person that can cause or bring reproach and scandal over the elect, and that can be a reason for stumbling for any of us, God will take care of those people, and let God take care of them, and we will continue on without paying attention to any kind of problems that can affect us, because we have started the race, and the reward, the crown, is for those who finish, which is what we mentioned before, that it isn't the one who begins, but those who finish. We have seen, on this occasion, the Holy Spirit, our sustaining strength, in this brief Bible study, under the subject, the Holy Spirit, our sustaining strength. We thus leave with us immediately our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.